After I've read this, we're going to have a time if you feel that you wish to share anything, either in prayer or just to share something with the congregation, then there'll be an opportunity to do so. But I won't wait forever. So I'm giving that notice now, if there is anybody who feels that they wish to share. So, the song of Moses and Miriam, and a little bit of a moan. That's in the Bible. I'm not going to moan. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will come. Grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. The place, Lord, you made for your dwelling. The sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they travelled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" And then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. So let's just pray as we come to the word. Father, we just pray that you'll speak to us from your word. Help us to hear, help us to understand, help us to obey, and become real again through your word to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably the last time, even when we come back to Exodus, probably the last time I shall put this picture up, because it's sort of, this is over and done with, really. Exodus, Egypt is now behind. I mean, this is a lovely light picture, isn't it, of an enslaved people, all the colours and the beauty and the monuments in the background, but then the slaves in the foreground. And the theme we're thinking about this evening is praise and grumbling, and one of the things which really caricatures the rest of the book of Exodus in some ways, as far as the people are concerned, is that we have this cycle of praise, grumbling. Moses goes to God, says, "God, help me out." God does something which results in the people saying, "Hey, that's good. We'll praise God." So they praise God, and then a little bit further along the way, the grumbles start again, and the cycle just goes round and round and round. And of course, but as we do know from images the Egyptians themselves drew on some of their monuments, that slavery was commonplace, and that the work would not have happened to build the glories of Egypt, which have now crumbled into the sand, most of them. They were built on slavery. But there was very strong leadership, royalty, seen as gods by the people, presumed to be gods by the royals themselves, and of course the symbol of the gods was the unpredictable cobra, which here on Tutankhamun's headwear we see at the top there, the hooded cobra. And it wasn't without significance, as we thought some weeks ago now, that it was these serpents that Moses' rod turned into. But as soon as he picked it up by the tail, it just became a dried out stick again. And even in that, there was prophetic message being delivered. The serpent represents Egypt, and God says, "I'm just going to pick you up by the tail, and you'll do no more damage." But he gives the Egyptians opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent, to relent, to turn. And we see it through the 10 plagues of Egypt, leading finally to that most awful plague, the death of the firstborn of Egypt. We remembered how the children of Israel had protection through the blood of the sacrificial lambs, which was painted on the lintels and doorposts of their houses, and the angel of death passed them by. And we remembered at the time the relationship and the symbolism that we find in Exodus that is picked up again in the New Testament, that we as Christians are dependent on a sacrificed lamb and his blood. And then we remembered how the Israelites were freed. Eventually Pharaoh caved in after the loss of the firstborn, including his own son, and just said, get out, just go. And it was all fine until this couple of million people who were the children of Israel came to the obstacle that was the Red Sea. And we remembered how they said, what are you going to do about this, Moses? They started grumbling. Here we are, we've left Egypt. What have we left Egypt for? What are you going to do about it? And Moses turns to God and says, yes, God, what am I going to do about it? And God says, just hold your staff over the sea. And the sea separates. And the people pass through. Followed not long after by the army, the chariots of Egypt. But by the time there in the midst of the ocean or the water, the children of Israel are out on the other side, and nature takes its course, and what God has held back flows, and the Egyptian army is lost. And that's really where this reading this evening picks it all up. Moses and Aaron and the Israelites praise God. And we're told also that it wasn't just the men, it was the women too. Miriam and women picked up tambourines and danced and celebrated their deliverance. Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense, he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Exactly the same words, both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. In other words, all the people are praising God along the same lines. Now, one of the problems for us today, as we read these scriptures, is that it would seem that God's people are celebrating the deaths of other people at God's hands. Other people who were sons, brothers, fathers, the Egyptian forces. And it's very easy to get to the point where we can't get any further with this. Well, I just can't cope with that, so just put it out of the way, move on. But I find it very interesting, some words of Martin Luther King on this passage. He said, "This is not simply a story that glories in the death of enemy soldiers. Rather, this story symbolizes the death of evil and inhuman oppression and unjust exploitation. Evil's insatiable appetite ultimately leads to its own destruction." Evil's insatiable appetite ultimately leads to its own destruction. Keep reading to the end of the Bible, read the book of Revelation, and that in the end, in essence, is what the book of Revelation is all about. It is about saying evil's insatiable appetite ultimately leads to its own destruction. Whatever we think of Mr. Putin, the Soviet Union ran itself into the ground. And again and again and again, evil regimes have run themselves into the ground because evil feeds on life. And there comes a point where it has taken so much life that there is nothing left to feed it. And really what this passage is focusing on, it's focusing on the redemption that God is achieving for his people. In 1792, Sierra Leone was founded. And Sierra Leone is a state in Africa, and its capital is Freetown. And it was settled by several thousand Africans who had been taken to the Americas, to Alaska, to Canada, to this country, as slaves. And part of what Wilberforce did to try and get the whole movement against slavery going was to arrange for these people, and there was something passed through Parliament, he was able to take advantage of it, and these people were able to get transport back to Africa, to Sierra Leone, to create Freetown. And as they arrived, and as they celebrated their arrival, they sang this hymn by William Hammond: "Awake and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Wake every heart and every tongue to praise the Saviour's name. Sing on your heavenly way, ye ransomed sinners, sing. Sing on, rejoicing every day in Christ the Eternal King." A hymn which brings together the Israelites, led by Moses, and redeemed from Egypt, and Christians redeemed from sin by Jesus Christ. And of course, that is based on a verse from Revelation: "They sang the song of God's servant Moses and the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations." They've come through the Red Sea. And what we need to see and understand in all this is that for the Jewish people, right up until Jesus' day, and indeed even up to now, those who have remained Jewish as opposed to receiving Jesus as the Messiah, but they see the event of the Passover and the crossing through the Red Sea as the fundamental act of God in their history. It is what binds them together. When they think about their redemption, this is what they think of. It has the same place in Judaism that the cross has in Christianity. What we gather round when we share in the bread and wine together, what we put at the centre of our buildings as a symbol, is a cross. Which reminds us that Jesus died and rose again. And that in that act, God redeems us. You see, these people that we're talking about in Exodus, they had seen God save them. They had seen the sea held back. They had walked through on dry land beneath the sea, and they had come to the other side. And then they had seen the Egyptians chasing down towards them, and they really thought they were still not out of the woods. They really thought the Egyptians would destroy them. But then the sea closed in. And they saw the work of God their Saviour. They were now free. And they trusted him. Okay, God, you've got us this far. We will trust you for the future. Now, as I've already mentioned, as we'll see again in a moment, that was a very hesitant thing, human nature being what it is. But having seen God's salvation, they trusted their Saviour. And of course, they did not know that they were trusting the same Saviour we trust. And because they had seen God save them, and because they trusted their Saviour, they sang to his glory. They couldn't help themselves. You know, it's only just over a week ago, isn't it, when we were still on a winning streak and Three Lions was being sung everywhere. Gather, it was number one in our charts this week. It's coming home. Can't help but sing to celebrate in good times. James Montgomery Boyce, the great evangelical preacher who died in the year 2000, said, "Music is a gift from God that allows us to express our deepest heart responses to God and his truth in memorable ways. It is a case of our hearts joining with our minds to say yes, yes, yes to the truths we are embracing." So they were saying yes, yes, yes. And then we are told that Moses led them on. Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they travelled in the desert without finding water. Well, you know what it's been like this week. You know, we've needed water more often than once in 3 days. We've needed it every 30 minutes, some of us. You know, you just need to keep drinking. We know that. It's a basic need for human life. But they came to a place that they thought was going to have water for them, a place called Mara. Mara was the Hebrew word for bitter. In the book of Ruth, there's a bit where Ruth's mother-in-law says, "Don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara." Bitter. Now, I'm acid. There's no joy. There's no life. And here was water that was apparently a pretty stinking, stagnant, unpalatable mess. And Moses cried out to the Lord after the people had grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" I mean, you know, it's almost a case, isn't it, of, look, Moses, this was your idea to come here. You brought us through the Red Sea, but you caused us to fear that we were going to lose our lives at the hand of the Egyptians anyway. Now we've gone for 3 days. We've not had any fresh water in 3 days. Our children are beginning to suffer because of it. We're going to start dying soon through thirst. What are you going to do about it? It's your problem. And Moses cries out to the Lord, and the Lord shows him a piece of wood. We don't know what sort of wood it was. We don't know whether it was just any old piece of wood or whether it had some particular chemical properties or whatever it was. But anyway, he threw it in the water. And the water was cleared. It was drinkable. And then the Lord spoke to the people fairly sternly. "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. A place of shelter, a place of restoration, a place for regaining strength, and a place for going out with confidence into the future. Paul says to the Philippians, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." All your needs. Not necessarily all your wants, but all your needs will be met in me, says the Lord, through that word. He promises that he will give us the refreshment we need to keep going. He promises the living water to us. Revelation 22, we're told, "Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." So in this story we see a foreshadowing of the salvation that Christ is going to bring. Our greatest need is to be freed from the enemy of sin and oppression. And this story says this was true for the Israelites. And it's picked up again and again in the New Testament to say, and it's true for us. God has died and risen again in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be whole, that we might have a future, that we might step out to it in confidence, keeping our eyes on him rather than on the circumstances around us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your redemption through Jesus Christ, your Son, who gave his life on the cross of Calvary, that we might be freed from all our sin, all that oppresses us, all that restricts us, so that we might be fully the people you have created us to be. Remind us again and again and again of how much reason we have to sing out our praises. How again and again we have reason to sing of your strength as our defense, that you have become our salvation. You are our God, and we will praise you and exalt you. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.